Good morning, McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here, and I am so grateful to be worshiping with you on this day when we come to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. I hope that you are enjoying this wonderful Christmas time of year and that you are looking forward to the new year ahead. Today we come to give thanks for God's continued love and faithfulness. We have a great service planned and so happy to have some guest musicians with us today. We have Larry Hammett and Dennis Boritsky with us, and so thank you all for being here today. Please let us know that you're worshiping with us by filling out the registration pads that the ushers are passing out. For those who are online, you can let us know by clicking on that connect button that you see on your screen. We are so glad that you are here today, and let us begin our time of worship by standing and joining and singing our first hymn together, Joy to the World.
Good to be in worship together. Will you please join with me in our responsive reading found in your bulletin or on your screen? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. We long for a light to guide us. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. We long for God's joy in our lives, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. We long to be relieved of all that we carry. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is named Emmanuel, God with us. In this tiny baby, this vulnerable child, we find our light, our joy, our comfort. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. I invite you to be seated and let us join into a time of prayer together. God of love and God of new life, by the birth of Jesus, you have brought light into our darkness. Shine in our lives so that we may share the light of Christ to all the world. Nothing will ever separate us from your love, love that was expressed in a manger, love that was expressed in the way Jesus lived life, love that was expressed on the cross, and love that was expressed at the resurrection. Give us faith to trust in your promises, O God. You call us to serve the hungry, the poor, the lonely, and the outcast. Show each and every one of us how it is that we can respond to that great call. We remember today that Jesus was born into poverty and lived a life under oppression. We ask you, O God, to open our eyes to the injustices around the world and even those that we interact with each and every day. And we ask you, O God, to inspire us to proclaim your love and your righteousness through the way that we love, the way that we live, and the way that we speak. We ask, O God, today that you will bring your healing to those in need. For we even know that with those gathered today, we have loved ones and people that are important to us who are suffering and hurting and who are ill. And we ask you, O God, as we name them in our minds, that you will heal them, that you will bring your healing touch to them as individuals, to the doctors and medical professionals who are around them, and that you will help us to love and to remember them. We pray, O God, for those who are sick and those who suffer around the world, those who hunger and thirst, and those who wonder where they will lay their head tonight. God of love and God of new life, inspire this congregation, inspire McFarland Church to reach out beyond our walls, beyond our fears, beyond our past, and help us to welcome your future. And give us the guidance as we seek to be a church that is about changing lives that change the world. God of hope and God of love, by the birth of Jesus, you have brought light into our darkness. Shine in our lives so that we may illuminate the light of Christ to the world. And now we join together, in person and online, with all of our brothers and sisters around the world, those from the past and those in the present who have proclaimed this great faith, as we share the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. 224, please stand.
Thank you.
time of offering, let me just offer my word of thanks for the many ways that this church is truly changing lives that change the world. And this morning, you have the opportunity to give to our continued ministry here and around the world. You can continue to give to our Christmas offering, where we will be supporting our food pantry, making sure that we have lunches provided to over 200 children in Tanzania and other ministries of the United Methodist Church. So thank you in advance for your continued faithfulness. You may be seated.
I heard about this baby boy who came to earth to bring us joy. And I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this. The fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem. Expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just like as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There are just certain songs and certain things that we do during this season. Dr. Z, thank you. That is one of those that is inspiring and beautiful. What a great morning it is to be together. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Hear now these words. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was with the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give you so much thanks for your word, the way that you speak to us today. And so, God, let us open our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we might receive your spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I imagine that if you are a parent of a child who is old enough to walk, then you can identify with Mary and Joseph in this story. And as a mother of two myself, I know the gut-wrenching, heart-pounding, cannot-breathe feeling when you look around and your children are nowhere in sight. Or perhaps you remember a time when you were the one who was lost, and eventually being confronted by a stressed-out parent with a crazed, yet relieved look on their face. You know, I know my parents experienced that feeling on my behalf at least once, because my mom will not let me forget the story of when I was just around 2 or 3 years old, and she received a call from a neighbor who lived down the street saying that she found me walking across her lawn and thought that she would let my mom know, since surely she didn't knowingly let her toddler walk through the neighborhood alone. And so my mom was grateful because she had just realized in that moment that I was not where she left me. And it had not occurred to her that at that age I was able to open a door on my own and let myself out of the house. And she says that she asked me a question when she got to me that was not unlike the question that Mary asked Jesus. "What were you thinking? You scared me half to death." And apparently my reply was about as calm and straightforward as Jesus's reply. "I wanted to go play with Casey, who was my best friend, who lived down the street. I knew where I was going, and I was not afraid to go out on my own." And as scared as my mother was in that moment, and as scared and probably frustrated and disappointed and mad as she would be many times with me throughout my childhood, I remember so clearly her saying to me time and time again, "I may not like what you do sometimes, but I will always love you." And hearing this passage today about Jesus as a child, and this is the only story that we have of Jesus as a child beyond the stories when he was a baby, it makes me wonder whether Mary and Joseph might have expressed that same kind of honest love with Jesus as he grew up. You know, we don't really know what his childhood was like, but we do know what kind of man he came to be. Someone who was honest and correcting with those who had gone astray, but also somebody who was compassionate and loving and forgiving with those who needed another chance. And I think that those leaders and those teachers who were in the temple that day, they must have been examples for Jesus as well about how to treat children who are curious and who wander and who wonder. They didn't shoo him away or ignore him. Rather, they engaged with him and they let him speak. They didn't deny his own experience of God, of the holy, even if he was only a child. You know, the incarnation, God coming to us in the form of a human, is beautiful for many reasons, not least of which is the reminder that God was a child like any of us. In Christ, God wondered and wandered and whined and wailed. In Christ, God has set an example for us of what it means to be fully human, including what it means to be a child. And children are vulnerable, like little baby Jesus in his fleece diapers. But children are also inquisitive, like this 12-year-old Jesus wandering the temple to talk with the teachers about God. Do you remember the story when Jesus took a child onto his lap? We know what Jesus said to the community, to the crowd who was there. He said, "In the community that I'm creating, the greatest of you will be just like this little one." But I wonder what he said to the child that day. What do you imagine Jesus might have said? Well, a pastor tells a story about when 10 or so people gathered in a small cemetery courtyard for their friend's memorial service. She says, "One by one, we offered our remembrances, and the last to speak was her 20-something granddaughter. And her granddaughter said, 'I loved going to my Nana's house. She cooked me special foods and taught me card games and the names of birds. And before I left, every time, she told me I was beautiful on the inside and on the outside. And she taught me to believe that it was true.'" You know, our little ones are so important to us. And we are important to them. We're big and we are wise in their eyes, no matter what we feel about ourselves. And so the way that we treat them, especially the way in which we listen to and we talk with them, it affects the way they feel about themselves, the sense that they have of who they are. And this listening and talking, this way of paying attention, it's as important to us in our adult relationships as it is in our conversations with children. You may be familiar with John Gottman. He writes extensively about marriage, and he says that he can tell in 5 minutes of listening to a married couple's conversation what their relationship is like and whether it will endure. 5 minutes. And what he listens for is the way in which they are attuned or not attuned to one another. If they pay attention and they actually listen to their partner before formulating their response, if their response is conveyed with directness and respect, if there is an underlying interest in the well-being of the other person and of the relationship, these relationships are healthy. If these things are present in the conversation, the relationship is strong and likely to endure, even when there are considerable differences. And another psychologist and an expert of what is called mate selection talks about choosing a life partner. And when he talks about people learning to love one another in a way that is deep and lasting, He sometimes says that it boils down to this. He says, love is speaking honestly and listening carefully over time. This works whether we're in conversation with our partners, or our friends, or our parents, or our children, or our business associates, or God. Love comes when we speak honestly and we listen carefully over time. And all of this we learn, or we fail to learn, as children. All of this we are teaching, or we are not teaching, to our children in the ways that we talk to them, and especially in the ways that we listen to them. Pay attention and show respect. Have an underlying interest in their well-being and talk honestly. Listen carefully and do this time after time after time. And so what did Jesus say to that little child? Well, we don't know, and we will never know. But I hope that what he said to the child was something like, tell me about your day. Tell me about your day. And I imagine and I hope that he just listened to whatever was said without interrupting to correct or to teach or to give advice. And I imagine and I hope that the child got to tell Jesus whatever came to his or her mind, whatever sparked his or her fantasies, whatever played in his or her thoughts. Because if Jesus listened to all of this, not just once, but every time he saw the child, then the child would learn that their story was important. That their ordinary little child life mattered, even to the Savior of the world. Now, one expert who spends a lot of time with children and parents tells parents that the most important thing that they can do for their kids, after providing food and shelter, is to listen to them. Colicky babies and babblers and whiny toddlers and bossy six-year-olds and know-it-all teenagers, they are all trying to get us to pay attention. And so she advises parents to crawl up on the bed next to their kids every night and say this. Say, tell me about your day. And then be quiet and listen. Don't teach them. Don't correct them. Don't advise them. Just let them talk. Let them tell you that their stories and their ordinary lives are important. And by listening to them and listening to their stories, you tell them that they're even sacred, that they're important to the other someone who is listening right along with you. Like Nana's granddaughter, let them discover by the way that you listen to them that they are beautiful on the inside and the outside. And also remember that this doesn't just apply to the children in your world. It's what we all need. It's what your spouse, your partner, your parents, your closest friends, your colleagues, they need that too. And so the next time that you're together at lunch or when the kids are tucked in or when it's just the two of you driving somewhere together, turn to that sacred person who is with you and speak those magic words. Tell me about your day. Or ask that great Wesleyan question, how is it with your soul? And then listen. Because it's when we listen, when we really listen, that we are reminded and we remind others that when we share our lives and our deepest thoughts and our feelings, we are reminded that there is someone else who is present, who always hears us, who listens, and that our lives are sacred and matter to that most important one, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we celebrate today and all days that he is born again to us and that he is always with us. So let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that You are not just a God who is far off, but you are a God who is near to us, and that you know us even better than we know ourselves. And so, God, we thank you for listening to us, hearing us, and for giving us people in our lives who model that and do the same. And God, we pray that we would also be an example of your great love, that honest love that offers compassion and forgiveness and mercy and second chances. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Hymn 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain, 251.
So go forth today knowing that your story and who you are matters. It matters to your human family, and it matters most importantly to God. And so go forth also to be a great listener, to model that love that God has for each and every one of us. And so I pray that you will go in peace, that you've had a Merry Christmas, and will have a wonderful New Year. Happy New Year.